I wonder if you ever wonder what on earth God is up to. Has God lost the plot? Or worse, is God unable to make good on the plans he has for you? Or for us as a church? That was a real question for the Ephesian Christians. There they were, a tiny minority in a city dominated in every way by the enormous temple of the goddess Artemis, if you're Greek, or Diana, if you're Roman. You had to bow down and worship Artemis if you're going to have a job, if you were going to be part of society at all. And the Ephesian Christians were scared that God's plans had come off the rails, because they weren't going to bow down to this Artemis, but she seemed to be in control. Perhaps God wasn't big enough or powerful enough to really do what he said he would do. And if that was the case, how would the Ephesians, how would we be safe? How could we ever be certain of our future in this world or the next? I wonder if you ever wonder what on earth God is up to. Has God lost the plot? Or worse, is God unable to make good on the plans he has for you? Or for us as a church? Well, if you do, you're in very good company, because a whole load of the Psalms ask exactly that question, addressing God, asking him what on earth he is up to. How long, O Lord? And I think most Christians ask God exactly that question from time to time. Our spiritual safety relies on the power of God to fulfill his promises. For the Ephesians, surely Paul being in prison couldn't be part of that plan, could it? For us, surely declining church attendances across the Church of England over recent years, money troubles at parish and diocesan level or up and down the country, arguments about all kinds of things within the Church General Synod, the Church Government, wars outside of the Church in different countries, natural disasters, family worries, health concerns, tragedies in the local community, and so on. Surely, all those things point to God's plans coming off the rails, don't they? Well, unsurprisingly, the Bible's answer to that question is a resounding no. God's plans are still very much on track. And here's how Paul settles the Ephesians' minds and our worries as well. And we're going to look at our passage in two halves. The first half tells us that the good news of the gospel reaching us is proof that God's plans are still on track. And the second half tells us that the good news of the gospel made plain to all the world in the church and by the church is proof that God's plans are still on track. So verses 1 to 6, the good news of the gospel has reached the church. It's proof that God's plans are on track. But we need to start way back in history. So I'm going to tell a story. For many years, there's been a mystery. Well, what was this mystery? Well, it was this. How on earth were God's promises of old, promises made to a people, promises God made to make a people for himself from all different nations and nationalities and different peoples. How on earth was that going to come about? God had promised it. How was it going to happen? He'd made himself known to one man, a man called Abraham, and then through one nation, Israel. And Israel's job was in turn to make God known to all the other nations, so that others could come and also become God's people. They were called to, Israel were called to live for God, obediently loving him and one another, holding out the hope of God to all of the nations. But Israel had consistently failed in her task to do this. She ignored God, she bunged up her ears and didn't listen. She worshipped idols, she persisted in evil practices of every kind. How were the other nations to hear about the wonders of God that God had promised to make known to them? It was a mystery. Humanly speaking, it looked absolutely impossible. And then came Jesus. He made God known to 12 Jewish disciples. But he told them that the message of repentance and faith that rescues us from sin and death and knits everyone who believes into God's people was available to everyone. And then finally, Paul and the other New Testament writers, the apostles and the prophets, were commissioned by the Holy Spirit to take the good news of the gospel to all other nations. Have a look with me at verse 6. This mystery, the mystery we've been thinking about, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise of Christ Jesus. Gentiles, non-Jews, like you, like me, could finally be part of God's people. Gentiles could finally have their sins washed away and have everlasting life. The mystery was revealed. Suddenly, the floodgates of salvation had been opened. And this was the most significant event ever to happen in the history of the world. God made known, God available to all nations. God's plan hadn't come off the rails after all. It was still on track. The fact that the Ephesian Christians had heard the gospel themselves and believed was evidence that God's plans were good to go. Paul brought them the gospel, and their lives and their destinies had been changed forever. Now they were united with Christ by faith, through grace, made alive in Christ, united to one another, Jew and Gentile, in one new humanity. The mystery had been revealed, and they had become part of the story. And we can be certain, can't we, that God's plans for us are still on track, because many of us are just like those Ephesian Christians. We've heard the gospel of grace, written about on the pages of the Bible, written by Paul and the other apostles and prophets. We too have turned to God in repentance and faith, believed the gospel, and become God's people in Christ. What a privilege that is. So we can be sure that God's plans are on track, at least up to the point that we ourselves became Christians. The good news of the gospel reached us. But that was in the past, wasn't it? It doesn't explain why church attendance is way down on what it was 30, 50, 100 years ago. Even for the Ephesians, Paul was in jail, the master builder taken off the site, the best player off the pitch. So to our second encouragement from today's passage. The good news of the gospel is made plain to us in the church and is proof that God's plans are on track. Because did you know that if you're a real believing Christian, you are part of the most significant group of people ever to have existed? Did you know that? Look around the room. You're looking at other members of the most significant group of people ever to have existed. You're central to God's plans. And he is working through you, through us. You see, we've received the good news of the gospel of grace, which unites believing Jew and believing Gentile, those who trust in Jesus, all into this one new humanity. And now we embody the gospel of grace. We're living proof that God's plans are still on track because we're united in the good news of the gospel. It's what holds us together. Look with me at verse 10 in your Bibles. Verse 10. God's intent, God's purpose, was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. Through the church, you see, the multicultural, multi-ethnic church, all those throughout the world who trust Jesus, down history who have trusted Jesus, through that church, God's wisdom is made known to the world. How come? Well, God's plan was always to unite all things in Christ, all types of things, all types of people. And here we are, Jew and Gentile. If Liz was here, it would be Jew and Gentile. And people from every nation of Gentiles under the sun, united together in the gospel, in Christ. And we sitting here in St. Mark's in February 2017, we are part of the proof that God is on the move. The creator of heaven and earth is still building his new humanity, the church, according to plan. And brothers and sisters in Christ, we are a part of, we are central to God's plans. The picture painted in verse 10 is of a football stadium, isn't it? The church, we, are on the pitch, united as a team. The stands are full with everyone looking down in, full of the rulers and the authorities of the heavenly realms. Those to whom God says, see, my plans are on track. Just look at my team. And so we play out the game. And as we do that, we prove the wisdom of God in the gospel. We prove that his plan is still on track. We embody the grace of God shown to the Gentiles. And everyone under heaven and earth sees and takes note that God's plan is still on track. Have you ever wondered why the church, by which I mean all of those believing people who are trusting Jesus for themselves and wanting to spread a passion for Jesus across the world wherever they live, have you ever wondered why it's so often under attack? Why in some countries Christians are actively persecuted, even to the point of death? Why in our country we've seen an attack on Christians living out their faith in public? No praying with your patients, no telling people about Jesus at work, no wearing crucifixes, it might offend people, Winterval instead of Christmas. Why even inside the church are there those who would want to water down the historic faith and replace it with something that's less than real Christianity? Well, here's the reason. It's because we are at the center of God's plans to make himself known and to prove the final defeat of evil and of its author, Satan, is guaranteed. You see, attack the church, attack real Christians, and you're attacking God's proof of his plan being on track. But God is still adding to his people. He's still adding to his new humanity, day by day, sending more and more people onto the pitch for the watching crowds to see. Look around the world. The church is massively growing. Look at the Anlaby churches here. Praise God that we have new people coming to us month by month, year by year. God's plans are on track. The good news of the gospel is made plain in the church. So as we begin to draw to a close, why did Paul tell the Ephesians all this in the middle of his letter? Well, I think he's beginning to ground those big truths that he taught in the first couple of chapters. And he knows that the Ephesians need encouragement. They know that God has a plan, but they're worried that because Paul's in prison, because the best player is off the pitch, God's plans have hit the buffers. And God knew that 2,000 years after the Ephesians lived, there would be a church on the edge of Hull that sometimes felt a little bit discouraged. What's God's plan? Are we still part of it? Is everything still okay? So verse 13, look with me at verse 13. Paul writes, "I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory." Don't be discouraged, be encouraged. The gospel has come to us through the New Testament writers. We believed, we've been raised from death to life. We've been knitted together into this new humanity. And we've been sent out onto the pitch to play out our lives for all to see. And we're the most significant people on earth because God shows his glorious wisdom through us, even us. God's plans are still on track. Whatever's going on in our world, whatever's going on in our lives, whatever's going on in the church. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged. Be encouraged. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you that you are powerful to show that your plans are on track. That whatever befalls your people, you have sent us out onto the pitch to play out our lives for all to see, to be living proof that you are at work, that you are on the move. Please show us this more clearly day by day and grow our confidence in Jesus Christ. And we pray in his name. Amen.